I was recently doing a radio interview, and the DJ asked me a question. He said to me, "Gary, do you believe that you have to hit rock bottom to make change?" I thought that was an interesting question. In fact, a lot of people actually believe that they do have to hit rock bottom to make change. A lot of people, for instance, who are drug addicts, people who abuse alcohol. But one day I was watching a TV interview of a gentleman who used to be a drug addict, and here is how he explained this. He said, "If you believe that you have to hit rock bottom to make change, one day you're going to feel what you're experiencing is rock bottom. Then you try to go ahead and make change, you go to rehab, etc., and for many months you're doing very well. You're no longer taking drugs or doing all the booze, and then maybe 5 or 6 months later, you have a relapse. Now you start thinking, wait a minute here. Here I'm having a relapse, I'm doing the drugs again, I'm doing the alcohol again. Well, I guess I didn't hit rock bottom like I thought I had, so now I gotta hit it even worse because I have to hit rock bottom to make change." Isn't that interesting? So no, I don't believe that you have to hit rock bottom to make change. If you have enough reasons why and you have a good purpose, you will make change without having to hit rock bottom. Now let's go ahead to page 10 in your workbook. Page 10 in your workbook. That's really the fourth page that we're working on, the 1, 2, 3, and 4. So yes, we've jumped from page 7 in your workbook now to page 10. This is the actual order that I use when somebody works with me face-to-face or over the phone. I start them off with their page 1, then I jump them over to their page 4. So let's jump over to our page 4, which is page 10 in your workbook. The words limited beliefs are on the top, limited beliefs. Let me share with you some vitally important information about your belief system. I'm going to share with you a statement that's incredibly important and powerful. By the way, if you're taking notes, I strongly suggest you write this down. If you're not taking notes, I strongly suggest you write this down. I'm going to say it several times. The first time, I'll just go ahead and say it. The second time, I'll come back and say it slower so you'll have the opportunity to write it down. And it says, "For every belief or thought we act on, we get a result." For every belief or thought we act on, we get a result. That is very powerful. For every thought we act on, we get a result. What do we mean by that? What it simply means is for every thought that we think about and act on, it in turn gives us a result. Perhaps you've heard this saying before, though it may not be grammatically correct, it is also very true. It says, if you think the way you've always thought, you will always get what you've always got. So if you want to get something different in your life or something more, many times we have to change the way we what? The way that we think. You just can't say something negative and go to positive. So we have to change the way that we think. And that's what we're going to be focusing on this page 4 or page 10 in your workbook. So if you have a result in life that you're not happy with, it is irrelevant what the result is, whether it's emotional, spiritual, financial. What we have a tendency of doing, we have a tendency of trying to change the result. Well, people listen to that and say, "Gary, that only makes sense. If I have a limited result, I want to get a better result, I try to change the result," right? Wrong. Why? How did we get the limited result to begin with? In most cases, it stemmed from our limited what? Our limited thought process. Why? Because for every thought we act on, we get a result. If we act on a limited thought, we get a limited result. So we first have to identify the limited thought process. Once we change the thought process or that limited thought and it's totally changed, we immediately begin to get a new result. If you don't change the thought process and you just try to change the result, you're going to get that yo-yo syndrome. You're familiar with it. You know, you get started, you stop. You get started, you stop. All because we tried to force change a result without changing the thought process, without changing the mindset. So that's what we're going to be talking about in greater detail from this point on now. At your Roman numeral number 1 there, you'll see that parentheses again. I want you to write in the number 15 because we're going to focus still on the 15th statement or 15th feeling of inadequacies that we had on our page 3 in our workbook, and that was, I can't say no to others. Write that down. I can't say no to others. So this is obviously a negative thought. Now, for every negative thought we act on, we get a what? A negative or limited result. So what would be the limited result that a person would get from believing or thinking, I can't say no to others? Well, that's the thought, so the result would be what? Well, a number of things. Probably a lack of control of emotions, low self-esteem, other people will control and take advantage of them, and the list would go on and on. So what we have to do now, if we don't want to have other people control our lives, if we want to be able to say no to others and it not bother us and so forth, we have to change the what? We have to change the thought. Change the thought and we get a whole new result. So let's continue and work on doing that. Underneath our limited thought, I can't say no to others, is a sentence, and we'll read that. Include additional negative thoughts or feelings that I might experience if I forced myself not to believe the above thought. One more time and then we'll explain it. Include additional negative thoughts or feelings that I might experience if I forced myself not to believe the above thought. Let me explain that to you. Essentially, what we're trying to do here, we're trying to look for some more negative junk or negative thoughts that's in your head that relate to this limited belief, I can't say no to others. Why do we want to do that? Well, we want to change the negative thought to a positive thought or an empowering thought. But how can we change something if we don't have something originally to start from? So we're looking for as much junk as we possibly can, all the negative stuff, even though it sounds irrational or stupid. Let me give you a tangible example of this. I'm very well recognized for taking people who are phobic and reversing their phobias in a matter of minutes, and there's no hypnosis whatsoever involved. In fact, I actually use these same principles to do that. The example I'll give you, let's say we have somebody who is phobic of going over bridges. Try to put yourself in that person's shoes. You're scared to death of going over bridges. So I would say to you, what's your limited belief? I can't go over bridges, all right? Then I would read to you, include additional negative thoughts or feelings that you might experience if you forced yourself not to believe the above thought. So you still really believe it, but you're going to force yourself not to believe it. So we get a person to force themselves not to believe that they're not afraid of bridges. What are the thoughts that are going to go in their heads or come out of their minds or whatever as they go over the bridge? They're going to have negative thoughts, and that's what we look for. The negative thoughts are going to be like, the bridge is going to fall. I'm going to panic. I'm going to pass out. I'm going to have to turn the car around. I'm going to freeze. So we want to put them into the situation and see how they would react. So in this particular case of I can't say no to others, I want you now to include additional negative thoughts or feelings that you might experience if you forced yourself not to believe or to pretend you didn't believe this. So here's how we would do that. You would pretend that you could say no to others. So if you pretended that you could say no to others, how would that make you feel? Well, if you really have this problem, number one, you're probably going to feel what? Guilty. So I want you to write this down now. You'll see five rows there, or five lines, I want you to write down on the first one, I'll feel or I will feel guilty. Write that down. Now, this may not apply to you. If you have another statement, fine, just hold on to it. I'm going to share with you three. I want to make sure that you do the exact same three in the exact same order that I do it in. The second one, if you say no to somebody, maybe you're going to feel that they're going to be mad or not like you. So let's write that down for number two. They're going to be mad or not like me. They're going to be mad or not like me. See how this makes sense? If we say no to others, we feel that they're going to be mad or not like us. We want to be liked, so we say yes, 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 yes. So we have to learn to change that. All right, the third one is sometimes people have a hard time saying no to others because they feel that they're going to feel mean or be mean. So number three, write that down. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be mean. Now four and five, I'm going to leave blank. I'm going to leave that to you. If you have any additional thoughts for four and five, I want you to write them down. Let's take a moment and do that. Stop your program now. At this point, we've actually been able to now identify all the limited thoughts that you have that you've allowed to rent space in your head. All the limited thoughts that relate to this, I can't say no to others. Even though that you know or you may think or feel that some of these are so stupid, illogical, irrational, but that's okay. We still need to take them out of the head and put them on paper because this is the stuff, the junk that you're allowing to change and control and affect your life in a negative way. The next thing I'm going to encourage you to do is make sure now you get a coach. This would be a husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, neighbor, friend, whatever. Somebody who, number one, is sympathetic to your challenge, We don't want a person who's going to make fun of you and harass you. Oh, this is stupid. What do you mean they're not going to like you? So what if they don't like you? You're going to feel guilty? How stupid. You don't want anybody like that. You want somebody that can actually put themselves in your shoes so they can help you out. And see if they have any additional thoughts, something to share with you that you may not be thinking about. If they do, I would make sure you also include that. Now we're going to go to the next section. We're still, of course, on your page 4, Limited Beliefs, page 10 in your workbook. The next statement is, identify behaviors that I use to reward this limited belief. Identify behaviors that I use to reward this belief. Here's what we mean by that. When you have a limited thought, you're obviously going to have a limited result. How do you reward the behavior? What do you do? Well, this one will be obvious for I can't say no to others. How do you reward that behavior? The first thing you probably do is you always have to say what all the time? Yes, all the time. So let's write that down. As simple as it sounds, number one, under identify behaviors that I use to reward this limited belief, how do we reward it? We reward this by saying yes all the time. So I'm going to write down, I say yes all the time. Do the same for me. I say yes all the time. How about this one? Let's say somebody calls you. Maybe it's somebody that does this regularly. You have an answering machine and they leave a message. And what do? You don't return the phone call. You do everything you can to avoid making that phone call. That's another way that you would reward this limited belief. So write that down. I don't return the phone call. And we're just making some scenarios up. Even though this may not apply to you, still write it down with me. Number three. Maybe you're in a group gathering and you see that person that wants to get a hold of you and ask you to do something that you really don't want to do. What do? You avoid the person or the situation. You know they're going to be at a gathering or a party, so you don't go. So let's write that down for number three. I avoid the person or situation. I avoid the person or situation. At this point, too, it'd be very good to ask your coach this. Ask them if they know of anything else that you do to reward this behavior. Is there something that you do physically too? Maybe you clam up or you hold on to something. I'm looking for every little tiny thing that you do to reward this behavior. Maybe something about your body language says that you reward this behavior. Every little thing that you can think of. To illustrate this, let me use the example of somebody who might be phobic of snakes. If you get a person who's incredibly phobic of snakes, many times they can't even say or hear the word snake without freaking out. You show them a picture and they just cringe or flinch. And every time they cringe or flinch or tighten their fist or whatever it is that they do, they're actually digging their grave deeper and deeper and deeper. That is how they reward their limited thought or their belief that they can't hold this or it's going to get me or whatever their belief is. They reward it with that type of behavior. So for you, under I can't say no to others, this topic that we're working on, you want to go beyond just the physical things. Well, I avoid the person or I don't make the phone call. Is there something physiologically that you do? Maybe you sweat at the palms or maybe you start getting very irritable. Maybe you start pacing back and forth or you become very quiet. I want you to make sure you identify all those things too, even though they may be little tiny things, because every time you do them, you dig your grave deeper and deeper and you make it harder and harder to say no to others. Okay, what I'd like you to do now is finish off any other things that you want to add, any other sentences that you want to add to this identify behaviors that I use to reward this limited belief. Remember, I've given you three. See if you have a couple more. Go ahead and stop your program now. If you're using a coach, hopefully you got their feedback. You want to find out from them some of the things that they may notice that you're not and how you reward this limited thought process. Well, we're going to go now to the next step. The next step is your page 2, which is page 8 in your workbook. Yep, we're jumping around a little bit. And if you were to come to me personally, this is exactly what I would work with you and how I would do this. I would work this the same way. I'd give you your page 1. What's page 1? What's your goal? Why do you want to change this behavior? Then we go to your page 4, limited beliefs. Let me find out all the limited and the negative junk that's in your head. We want to get it out and put it on paper. Not only do we want to get that out and put it on paper, we want to find out the behavior or behaviors that you're using to reward this junk. Now we go to the next level. That's your page 2, page 8 in your workbook. We went from a limited belief. Now we want to go to an empowering belief. Why? Because for every empowering belief we act on, we get a what? Exactly. We get an empowering result. What we're going to do here, we're going to put down the opposite of what we've been working on. What we've been working on is this limited thought or this feeling of inadequacy that says, I can't say no to others. What's the opposite of that? Yes, it's I can say no to others. So by the Roman numeral 1, I want you to write the number 15 again because this is the 15th one on our list that we're using. Put the number 15 there and then write I can, put the word can, I can say no to others. In a sense, all we've done though, we've gone from negative, I can't say no to others, to positive. So we need to do that. We need to go from negative to positive. But friends, right now, this is only positive thinking. And if you're taking notes, I strongly suggest you write this one down. And if you're not taking notes, I strongly suggest you write this one down. Positive thinking is like spray paint on rust. It doesn't last long. Positive thinking is like spray paint on rust. It doesn't last long. But hey, it is a start. We need to at least do that. We need to go from negative, I can't say no to others, to positive, I can say no to others. But we must realize right now, those are only positive words. You don't believe those words. You can't just say, I can't say no to others, and then say, I can say no to others, and now be expected to be able to say no to others and not feel guilty, and so on and so on. So we have to work on how do we now change this positive thought into something that we believe. But before we can even get there, we need to convert the negative to a positive. And remember, this is only positive thinking right now. Positive affirmations are like spray paint on rust. They don't last long. Now let me prove that or illustrate that just a step further. Imagine for a moment that I've invited you over to my house and I'm going to bake you some cookies. So I get all the ingredients, I put them all together, and I put the cookies in the oven, and oh, they just smell so good. Imagine that. Don't they smell good? All right, there's that chocolate thing again. You know, to solve some of our problems, there are chocolate chip cookies. Anyway, we get the cookies out of the oven, let them cool down, and I give you a bite, and you take a bite on those, and you look at me and say, Gary, something just doesn't taste right. All right, that's where you come in. You ready? Gary, something just doesn't taste right. And I take a bite of one of the cookies, and I look at you, and I say, you know what? You're absolutely right. And then I look over to the counter and, oh, I forgot to put the eggs in the ingredients. I don't think you have to be a professional chef to figure this one out, but I think most of you, and I'm sure you would agree with me, that for most cookies to taste right, we usually have to have what in the ingredients? We usually have to have eggs in the ingredients. Wouldn't you agree with that? So I take the eggs and I crack them in a bowl and I mix them up and I get them all mixed up, that raw egg. Then I take your cookie back from you and I dip it in the raw egg. Oh, you know, some people are just like cringing up their face. Oh, that's disgusting. What do you mean? Did we not agree, not even 20 seconds ago, if we wanted the cookies to taste right, we'd have to have eggs in the cookies? Yes or no? Did we not agree to that? We absolutely agree to that. Would you also agree with me that there is a difference between having eggs in the cookie or on the cookie? Absolutely, beyond the shadow of a doubt. So you tell me, if we want these cookies to taste right, technically, we'd have to start from where? Absolutely. We'd have to start from scratch. Positive thinking is like spray paint on rust. It doesn't last long. If you take a person that feels that they're not pretty, that they can't say no to others, that they're stupid, that they're a failure, and you try to say the opposite, oh, you're not a failure. No, you're really beautiful. Oh, it's just easy to say no to people. Just do it. You can say that all day long till you're blue in the face, and all you're giving them is what? Positive thinking. And remember, positive thinking is like spray paint on rust. It doesn't last long. But what we've done, though, we've been able to start the ingredients, haven't we, by taking all the junk out from your page 4, those limited beliefs. So we're actually working on new ingredients now. Positive thinking is great if you have the right attitude. Raw eggs by themselves are no good. Positive thinking by itself is no good. You mix the raw eggs up with the right ingredients, you put positive thinking with the right attitude, the right reasons why you must change the behavior, and then yes, then you start making change, and now you can use the positive thinking as long as you have the right ingredients to use with it. What we want to do now is we want to go ahead and add more positive thoughts or more empowering beliefs to the I can say no to others. You see there, you have 5 more spots to do that. So where are we going to get some more of these empowering or positive thoughts? Well, hopefully you figured it out by now. We're going to get them from your page 4, your limited beliefs. That's really your page 10 in your workbook. So let's look at them. The first one we have is, I will feel guilty, or I'll feel guilty. So what's the opposite of that? It's the opposite. It's quite simple. It's, I will not feel guilty. So go to your page 2, your empowering beliefs. And for the first one, write down, I will not feel guilty. I will not feel guilty. Now let's go to the second limited belief on your page 4. And that was what? They are going to be mad or not like me. They're going to be mad or not like me. So what's the opposite of that? That's right. Write it down. They are not going to be mad or not like me. They're not going to be mad or not like me. If they do, what can I do? Or if they do, so what? They're not going to be mad or not like me. If they do, what can I do? Or so what? Our third limited belief that needs to be converted on page 10 in your workbook is, I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be mean. So some people who feel that they can't say no to others, if they were to say no to them, they feel that they're being mean. So now what would be the opposite or the empowering belief of, I don't want to be mean? Well, in its truest sense, the opposite would be what? I want to be mean. But that really wouldn't be the greatest thing to do. You wouldn't want to say, I want to be mean, and put that down under your empowering beliefs. So how would you convert that? You have to go from negative, your page 4, to positive, page 2. So what would be the positive of, I don't want to be mean? Think about it for just a moment here. What would you come up with? And I'm going to tell you in just a second what I came up with. What would you convert that to? I don't want to be mean to... All right, here's what I'm going to encourage you to put down. We're going to convert, I don't want to be mean to, I am not being mean by saying no. See the difference? So it's not a true conversion from, I don't want to be mean to, I want to be mean. We're going to go to, I am not being mean by saying no. So put that down on your page 2, which is page 8 in your workbook. That's the third one. I am not being mean by saying no. That's an empowering belief, isn't it? I'm going to share with you one more empowering belief that I use all the time. Number 4 is no problem. No problem. Because if you believed it was no problem to say no to people, it would be what? No problem. Now, you may have also added some additional limited beliefs on your page 4. Maybe you have a 4th one and a 5th one, a couple more. Go ahead and convert them now and put them under the empowering beliefs. Why don't you take a moment and do that now? We've completed the easy part now. We've gone ahead and converted the limited beliefs, the negative thinking, to positive thinking. But remember, that's all it is. And positive thinking is like what? Spray paint on rust. It doesn't last long. So what we have here on your page 2, your empowering beliefs, basically we have some raw eggs, don't we? You just can't be a person who can't say no to others and then just say, okay, I'm going to be positive about it now and switch it around and say, I can say no to others. And now when I say no to others, I'm not going to feel guilty. If they're going to be mad at me, oh well, I'm not going to be mean if I say no. And hey, this is going to be no problem. You don't believe that. So right now, it's simply words on a piece of paper. What we have to do, this is the challenge, this is the difficult part. We have to get ourselves to the point where we believe these new thoughts. So how do we do that? Well, I'm going to give you a hint, and your hint is on your page 4. Go over back to the right there to limited beliefs. The next page over, your page 10. I can't say no to others. Now, how did you program yourself to believe I can't say no to others? What's the answer? The answer is right there. Identify behaviors that I use to reward this limited belief. That's how you've been doing it. You said, I can't say no to others. How do you know you believe that? Well, you have behaviors to prove it. And the first one was, I say yes all the time. I don't return the phone call if somebody's trying to call me and leaving messages or what have you. I avoid the person or situation. So this is how you program yourself and you create this belief where it's ingrained in your thinking. what would we have to do then if we wanted to program ourselves for the opposite? See, you've been doing this unconsciously or without even thinking about it or not really realizing you do it as you get caught up into it. Now, you know you're aware that you do it, but you've been programming yourself unconsciously. So we have to do the opposite. We have to change the behavior opposite of what we're doing now. So we need a new behavior for a new belief. So what would be the opposite of, I say yes all the time? Well, we just can't say, I'm going to say no all the time. So let's go to your page to Empowering Beliefs, and let's do the opposite of, I say yes all the time. That came from our limited behaviors. So the opposite of that one would be, say no when I should. I want you to write that down, page 8 in your workbook. What will I need to do to reward this behavior? So we're going to put number 1, say no when I should. That was the opposite of the behavior we had for rewarding the limited belief. The second behavior that we had that rewarded the limited belief was, I don't return the phone call. So what are we going to do? What's the opposite of that one? Yeah, we're going to what? Return the phone call. So write that down under Empowering Beliefs. That's what will I need to do to reward this new behavior? Number 2, return the phone call. Return the phone call. The next limited behavior that we had was avoid the person or situation. So what's the opposite of that? We're going to put that down on your page 2. The third one is don't avoid the person or situation. Now remember, that doesn't make you believe it yet, but it's a start. We've got to start somewhere. If you have other limited behaviors that you wrote down on your page 4, I need you now to convert them and put them down under Empowering Beliefs on your page 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever it is. You're going to put that down under what will I need to do to reward this new behavior? Go ahead and do that for me now. Well, we've completed the easy stuff. We've gone from negative to positive, easy to do. Basically, what we have now under our empowering beliefs is positive thinking. We have the raw egg, so we've got to keep going, don't we? This is not enough. The next thing I'm going to show you how to do now is I'm going to show you how to do the nuts and bolts. In this entire program, this is probably the most important section that I'm going to share with you because we're actually now going into the nitty-gritty of changing the behavior. We've got to get ourselves now to believe this information. So the first thing I'm going to share with you now is I'm going to teach you and encourage you to lie. That's right, I'm going to encourage you to lie. No, not in a deceitful way, but you have to lie. Perhaps you've heard the humorous definition of insanity before, doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting different results. No, it doesn't work that way. So to get different results, we have to do something differently. We can't do the same thing over and over. What can we do differently than what we've been doing maybe in the last 5, 10, 15, whatever years? We can start off by saying something different, using a different word or a group of words. So this is what we're going to start off with, by saying, I can say no to others. But if you are truly a person who can't say no to others, and I say to you, okay, just say I can say no to others, and you say, I can say no to others, do you believe it? No. Because you don't believe it and you're saying it now means you're lying. But you have to start somewhere. So we're going to start off by faking the brain out or lying to it. At least we can do this starting off with the words that we use. So we start off with, I can say no to others. I will not feel guilty. They are not going to be mad at me. And if they are, what can I do? And we have the rest of the list. But the challenge now, though, is we've got to get ourselves to believe these new words. You believe the limited beliefs, obviously, because you have the behaviors to prove it. But we don't believe the new words. We're right now just going to be lying to ourselves. We've got to get ourselves to go forward and believe it. My question to you here is, and this is a very powerful question, you might want to consider this one a revelation when you get the answer. My question to you is, how do you know when you say, I can say no to others, how do you know that you're going to be at the point of believing it? How do you know that you believe it? The answer is when you feel it. In other words, when you say, I can say no to others, and you feel internally, you actually feel that you can say no to others. In other words, when your feelings match your words, you've created a new belief. So obviously from this point on, though, what now would be the goal? The goal now is to be able to say I can say no to others, to be able to say I will not feel guilty, to be able to say that they're not going to be mad at me, and if they are, what can I do? To be able to say I'm not being mean if I say no, to be able to say no problem, and as we say it, we also feel it. If you don't feel it when you say it, it is not a belief. So we have to keep doing something to get to the point we actually feel it. Let me illustrate some of this further. Imagine for a moment you're sitting in my office and I tell you that I'd like you for no reason, but just to jump on my desk and I want you to get on there and chair and say, life is great, everything is cool, wow, this is fun. Would you feel a little uncomfortable doing that? I would think so. I would hope so. But on the other hand, let's say now I say, I'm going to give you $1 million cash. It's all yours. But by the way, could you please jump on the desk and say, wow, this is great. Life is fun. I'm going to have a ball. Would you be able to do that and not feel quite as awkward? I would think so. What would be the difference? The difference is on the first thing that you did, the first time you jumped on the desk, you were acting and saying, wow, this is great, but you didn't feel that it was great. So you felt awkward. There was a conflict. Remember this, anytime you say opposite of what you feel like you're actually lying. Now, you don't consciously say, hey, I'm saying one thing and feel another, I am lying. You don't consciously say that, but you feel that. Now, what was the difference with the second one? Because I gave you $1 million, you actually felt that it was okay to jump up and cheer, and your actions matched your feelings, so there's no longer a conflict. So what's the difference? The difference is when you say something opposite of what you feel that you are actually lying. And because as humans, we've been programmed not to lie as little kids, which is a good thing. Now, you remember, again, for emphasis, I'm not talking about lying in a deceitful way. But anytime we say something opposite of what we feel, we have this internal conflict that says I'm lying. And unfortunately, we have a tendency as humans to be a slave to our feelings. If we feel sad, why can't we try to act happy? Ah, I see, that would be a conflict. Oh, no, that's wrong. That's a lie. Don't do that. So because of that, we feel sad, so then we act sad. And if we feel happy, we act happy. That part's okay, too. But what about the sad part? Try that one day. If you feel sad, try to act happy. You'll feel a conflict. And that conflict is usually that's going to tell you, wait a minute, that conflict's wrong. Don't try to act happy. Go ahead and do your feelings. Your feelings say be sad, so go ahead and be sad. Sometimes, though, if we want to change that, we have to do something different. You can't feel sad and act sad and expect to be happy. So if you feel sad one day, try to act happy, and it might get you a change. That's what we're doing here. If you feel that you can't say no to others, you have to lie and start off by faking your brain out and saying that you can say no to others. Now, you will find that there's obviously going to be an internal conflict. Your brain is going to say, wait a minute here. You feel that you can't say no to others. Don't say you can. But friends, you got to stop it right there. You got to hold on and keep going forward, because if you don't keep going forward, your feelings are going to win, because your feelings are limited. They're on page 4. And if you don't do anything different, like saying, I can say no to others, if you don't do something different like that, you'll go back to page 4, be a slave to those limited feelings, and you will never, ever be able to make change. So then what's one of the first things that we have to do to change a belief? We have to use the right words. So we start off with words. For example, if I take a person who is phobic of something tangible, something you can see, feel, or touch, like a tarantula, for example, I take that person, I'll ask him a question. I'm not really going to do this, but I'm going to ask them a question. Here's what I'm not going to really do. I'm not going to really put the tarantula on them. So I say to them, I'm going to ask you a question. The answer you're going to give me is no problem. So what's the answer, John? No problem. Okay, John, in just a moment, I'm not going to really do it, but in just a moment, I'm going to put a tarantula on your hand. Is that a problem? No problem. My question to you is, did John progress? Did he make some improvement? The answer would be yes. As silly, as stupid as it sounds, he said something right. He said no problem. Even though he didn't say it too well and not very convincing, he did say something that was positive. It is progress. How do we know it's progress? Well, if we were to ask John, John, when last have somebody said to you they're going to put a tarantula on you? When last have you said no problem? He probably never has. So he is making some progress. Words, changing our words to positive, is progress. It's probably the smallest amount of our progress, but it is at least a start. One of the other things I'm going to recommend for you is to invest in one of my programs. It's a video entitled Mental Vertigo, A Virus to Success, Do You Have It? In that video, there is an awesome segment of me reprogramming somebody with a phobia. And what you're going to learn from that is how to take these principles and program a thought process, program a new belief into you. Now, of course, all the principles are here for you and you should be able to get great results from this. But to actually watch somebody who has a tangible physical phobia and actually watch them be reprogrammed right in front of you from beginning to end, you'll see how this all comes together by how we condition them with this information that I'm sharing with you. But I would strongly recommend that you invest in that program. It should be more than obvious to us by now that we just can't have positive words and then just say, I can say no to others and just be able to just pick up the telephone and return that phone call and say, no, I can't do that. Why? Again, because we don't believe it yet. And when you force this new behavior with positive words and positive actions, your feelings will be still on page, what, 4. Your feelings are still going to be on page 4. Page 10 in your workbook. Those feelings are going to want to still control you. Remember, we have a tendency to be a slave to our what? Our feelings. Think back about that illustration about you jumping on my desk. You're going to try to say or feel or think you can say no to others, but your feelings are still going to be on page 4. You're still going to feel awkward. And for all these years before today, you've always been a slave to your what? To your feelings, whether they be positive or negative. And if you normally have the pattern of being a slave to your feelings and you try to change this behavior and your feelings are still on page 4, what's usually going to win? Yep, the negative feelings. You're going to go back to page 4 and never make change. So now we have to focus on literally going into the mind, if you will, and changing our feelings. That's the key. We want to be a slave. If we're going to be a slave to feelings, make sure we can control those feelings, and then we'll be a slave to the right feelings, the ones that we control. Let's talk about that now in greater detail. Back to your page 2, Empowering Beliefs. Page 8 in your workbook. You're going to see the sentence there. We'll start off with the two words, when my. See it there underneath the sentence, what will I need to do to reward this new behavior? Let's go down a little bit. You see the two words, when my. Ready? Fill in the blanks. When my feelings are not in harmony with my goals, ignore my feelings. One more time. When my feelings are not in harmony with my goals, ignore my feelings. So let's talk about this. When my feelings, what feelings? The negative feelings. The negative feelings on page 4. You might want to write down by the word feelings, when my feelings in that blank there, you might put in parentheses the word page 4. When my feelings, negative feelings, page 4. When my feelings are not in harmony with my goals, what goals? The goals that you have on page 1, page 7 in your workbook. Remember what the goal was. What's the goal? To be able to say no to others and not have it bother you. You might want to put in parentheses by the word goals, page 1. So when my feelings, page 4, are not in harmony with my goals, page 1, ignore my feelings. Ignore my feelings. Which feelings? The feelings on page 4. We have already discussed one way to do this, and that was by using the right words. The next thing that we want to focus on is how we say those words. We also want to make sure we have the right body language, or more importantly, more accurately, the right physiology. And let me explain that to you further. By the way, these things, these three things, are a major way in which we program or condition ourselves, and we must be consciously aware of how to utilize these tools. I'm going to share with you again another example or an illustration of reversing somebody's phobia. Now, I know we're not talking about phobias in this program, but when I reverse a phobia, it's basically a behavior. What are we trying to change here in this program? We're trying to change behaviors. It is easier to change a behavior that is tangible, a snake, a spider, anything that you can see, feel, or touch. Those are easier to work on than something intangible. Low self-esteem, is that tangible? Or intangible. It's intangible. You can't see, feel, or touch low self-esteem or good self-esteem, so it's more challenging. So I'll take this victim or volunteer who's phobic of this spider. We'll use this spider. And I'll say to them, in just a moment, I'm not going to actually bring the spider on them, but I'll say, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you a question. The answer you're going to give me is no problem. What's the answer? They say no problem. So I said, okay, in just a moment, I'm going to put a tarantula on your hand. Is that a problem? No problem. Now, we touched on this earlier, and we know the no problem, that's a start, but were they lying? Absolutely. But that's okay. We got to start faking or lying to the brain. Now, the way they said no problem showed it was really a what? A problem. Their body language also showed that it was a what? It was also a problem. What I have to do is I've got to get them to say no problem and really mean it. And being that I don't know these people that I usually work with, I've never really met them before, I've got to figure out how does this person say no problem and really mean it. So here's how I do it. I say to them, I'm going to ask you another question. The answer you're going to give me is, and they say no problem. Here we go. In just a moment, I'm going to give you $1 million cash. Is that a problem? And boy, do they light up. No problem. Ah, the word said no problem. There's no lying there. The way they said no problem, there was no lying there. And their body, their face, everything about them said no problem. Now here's the key. If I can get them to say no problem, just like they did with $1 million, and if I can get them to imitate or act or fake their brain out and say no problem now, just like they did with $1 million for the tarantula, their brain gets a whole new message. Isn't that interesting? There are times, though, that I have to assist that person. See, when they say no problem, I may take my fingers and I may touch their cheeks and touch them real quickly and say, silly little grin, and force them to smile. Why would I do that? Because they're not smiling now. Their body language says, whoa, shut me down. It's really a problem. So I come in as a coach and I say, silly little grin. I might touch them. Maybe they're holding onto their chair very, very tight and their knuckles are just white as you can be. So I'll tap their knuckles. And that is done to consciously remind them that, hey, wait a minute, that's something you're doing that's negative. Change that. And if I see they're squinting, and normally they don't squint, as they're squinting, I'll touch them right beside the eye and say, silly little grin, or change that. So now they go from squinting to not squinting. In other words, they go from negative to a positive physiology. It's important that we really learn to master these tools, because once you do that, you will soon realize that, yes, you can have your cake and eat it too.